are now joining Children of the Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things Star Wars television. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me, as always, is
Mac Lacey, and we are back in the saddle, getting excited for Andor coming out. We've got some Mandalorian Season 3 news and trailer that's come out. So we've got a lot to do today on this very special episode of Children of the Watch. We're going to be talking Andor. We'll be covering that Mandalorian Season 3 trailer. And then also at the end of the show, we're going to be giving some very special announcements about schedule for our Andor coverage. So if you're interested in kind of knowing what to look for and what to expect from our show going forward into Andor, stay tuned till the end. We'll be talking about that kind of information.
That's right. I think it's super important that you listen to the very end of this episode as we talk about that. And if you're new, we are a breakdown show for Star Wars television. We started as The Mandalorian Watch, and then after Season 2 of The Mandalorian Watch, we realized that there's going to be a lot more Star Wars television shows, and so we transitioned our name to Children of the Watch, a Star Wars show, to better cover all the live-action Star Wars TV shows. So we've covered The Book of Boba Fett. That was a lot of fun at the beginning of the year. It's kind of crazy that like we're approaching, that was a year ago now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That feels like yesterday and then also eight years ago.
100%. And then, of course, Obi-Wan this past summer. And as we get into Andor, in just like 4 days, we are 4 days away from Andor. So I just want to ask you, Mac, what's your hype level at? Are you feeling it? Are you excited for casting Andor?
Yeah, I am still feeling it. I'm of a special subset of the audience that was going to be writing for this show no matter what, just because of my love for Rogue One and all things concerning those characters and my love for the rebellion. So I'm pumped for it. Everything that we keep seeing, and we keep seeing more and more and more from the show and hearing from various outlets and stuff about the show, everything is pointing to this being a really special kind of show, something kind of out of the run of the mill for Star Wars TV so far. And I'm pumped for that. It's the kind of story that I love. And, the hype is just, it's working on me. I'm getting hyped.
You mentioned all the promo stuff. Like I have never seen, honestly, like since maybe The Force Awakens, Lucasfilm goes so hard in the promoting of something Star Wars, because like that's been an issue, I feel like, with Disney and Star Wars, and just like, oh, Star Wars promotes itself, people will watch no matter what.
It's like, but with,
exactly,
it doesn't actually turn out that way, I don't think.
Solo.
I was about to say, Andor's received about 8 times the marketing effort that Solo, a major motion picture, received.
It's crazy, and I love it. Like I think they should promote all Star Wars products like this, like including The Mandalorian Season 3, even though they know people are going to tune in to The Mandalorian, right? It's on its third season. People are going to be watching and craving for it. Like, that's why we're going to talk about the Season 3 trailer and break it down in just a moment. But, like, man, I wish they would do this with everything, because, like, the promotion for this has been incredible. Of course, some of the early reviews started coming out yesterday, spoiler-free early reviews, and pretty much all of it says, yeah, this is great. This is, like, kind of like what we talked about in our last episode. This is kind of like if HBO made Star Wars, this is what Andor is. And so it's not saying like it's going to be hardcore adult, but it is more adult than it is kid, you know, kid friendly.
We're going to be dealing with some more mature themes. The tone is going to be a little more serious, maybe. Dealing with some kind of nittier, grittier aspects of the Star Wars universe.
Right. Yeah. I think you're diving headfirst into the politics of the Star Wars universe. You're diving headfirst into the gray area of the Star Wars universe that Rogue One really set up really well. And so like when Cassian says the things that I've done for the rebellion, we're going to see those things that he did for the rebellion and be like, ooh.
Right. We get to see why he's just like murking his informant in a back alley and thinking nothing of that, you know?
And he's totally fine with it.
Right. And I remember Rogue One, like, just because we kind of start with that pretty soon out of the gate. You know, that's how we meet this character, Cassian. And I'm like, wow, we are really doing something that we haven't done in Star Wars, where maybe the heroes aren't just purely good, you know, all the way down. Maybe it's a little more complicated of a morality situation. I think a lot of the charm of Star Wars is that, you know, the bad guys wear black and have red lightsabers, and it's good versus evil, and there's a lot of charm in that, and we have tons of that in Star Wars, so I'm excited that maybe we'll get to explore where characters' intentions are not, you know, cut and dry. Maybe things are a little more complicated, a little bit more like real life, you know?
Yeah, so, like, obviously, we've talked about this. I really love that idea. There is part of me that's really worried that not the whole general audience is going to respond well to something so different and a departure from what you just described, right? Like, it's not like, say, I would say, like, The Mandalorian really fits into what you just described. Like, even though it's doing something a little bit different in that area, it still feels like this is classic Star Wars. Boba Fett felt that way. Obi-Wan, of course, feels like, you know, the prequels 2.0.
Yeah. It was just an extension of the Skywalker saga.
Part of me is worried, like, is all of the audience going to be on board for this? I don't think so at first. I think there's going to be a lot of people who watch these first few episodes and be like, you know what, that's not for me, and then end up going back and watching it all when it's finished.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I've seen from the early reviews is that, like, slow burn, slow burn, slow burn, slow burn. Like, that has been in literally every single review, and, like, I love a good slow burn.
Yeah. So you and I are both a huge fan of the first Alphabet Squadron book.
It's
a story in which you're spending a lot of time with characters just kind of sitting and thinking and meditating upon their everyday life and their place in the galaxy, and you're spending a lot of those quiet moments, you know? It's not all just dogfights and stuff. And I feel like this is going to be a similar style of storytelling where there's way more of those quieter moments, and I'm so excited for that. Some of my favorite moments from, like, The Mandalorian. So season 2 of The Mandalorian, I didn't quite like as much as season 1. Still really enjoyed it. Love that show. Excited for everything that's going to come in season 3. We'll get to that. But, like, some of my favorite moments from season 2 were the quieter ones. So, like, the episode with Bill Burr, when they bring him back and they have to deal with you know, some of those softer conversations just in, like, the Imperial mess hall and everything like that.
Oh yeah, it's
that
so
stuff is golden to me. So I'm that's what I'm looking forward to with Andor.
Yeah, and I think you're gonna get a lot of that. Like, every episode's gonna be like that Bill Burr episode.
Yeah.
Pretty much is it, like, and when that episode came out, like, we were discussing even then, like, man, I want more of this,
right?
You know, and so, like, this, I feel like this is the closest Star Wars is going to get to something like Game of Thrones in terms of the political backstabbing, the dialogue moves the action type show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am so ready for that. I'm not sure everyone is so ready for that. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but that's okay.
And that is okay. And so, like, I think if people just kind of prepare themselves for that, and then also we talked about this in our last episode where we talked about the Andor trailer and all of that, is that this show isn't the type of show that's going to be, look for this Easter egg here or this Easter egg here. There's going to be some of them, but it's not like The Mandalorian. It's not like Obi-Wan. It's not going to be like that. This is not that type of show. This is something completely different from what we've seen before. And I think people just need to prepare themselves for that because it's just going to be different.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't know. I'm excited just to see, you know, how it resonates with folks everywhere. Yeah. I think that's
like, the biggest mystery, right? Like I don't, that's the thing is like, I don't know how this is going to land for everyone,
yeah.
But I'm excited to see what it does.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope everyone loves it, but
me too.
I do think we need to temper expectations that this one could be divisive.
Yeah. I mean, it's Star Wars.
Polarizing? What? I've never seen that before.
Yeah. At this point, we should just become used to that, unfortunately. But yeah. Did you see that they happened to do a timeline, Mac? They did a timeline. Like, they did what we've been asking for.
Just like, with Andor. Tell us where this is taking place. What time period? What's like, before? What's after?
they literally did that. They did a visual timeline in which Diego Luna explains this is where Andor sits, and it showed like we went back and forth on the timeline, and we saw clips and stuff of what happens before and after, and it's like we're right here. Man, if they did that with every Star Wars show, that would be incredible.
It could save so much confusion.
Oh, man. So much confusion. Because I guarantee you, there's still some people out there that are convinced that Grogu is literally a baby Yoda.
Yeah.
So
we can just add like a footnote to the timeline that says that stormtroopers aren't clones as well. Just like yeah. Past this point, no stormtroopers are clones.
In parentheses, watch the Bad Batch.
Exactly.
Yeah. So before we jump into the Mandalorian season 3 trailer breakdown, there was also some news that broke about the casting of Ezra.
Yeah.
So like they didn't officially announce this, but this is pretty much as official as it gets without it being official.
Yeah.
And the guy that they got to play Ezra, which I assume he's going to be in the Ahsoka show.
That would be the logical place, I think.
He looks so much like.
Yeah. He's just looking the like cartoon a whole version. Ezra.
It's incredible. So it's the actor Iman Isfandi. I'm not familiar with him, but like I'm excited for his performance of live action Ezra. Like he joined Twitter like the day it broke as well, and he like left a little voice message, and he sounded like Ezra to me. It's like okay, yeah, they did a good job. The casting department needs a raise. This guy is Ezra for sure. that was pretty exciting.
Man, Star Wars casting has been killing it with the find of little Leia.
Oh yeah, so good.
Vivian
Lila Blair.
Yeah. She like the casting department at Lucasfilm is
way to go
doing the most.
Way to go, guys. Yeah. So. Let's jump into the Mandalorian Season 3 trailer. This came out a week ago, and honestly, this episode of the podcast should have came out a week ago, but life circumstances are different for us right now. So
things are very different.
So that's why it's coming out a week later. But let's jump into it. This is essentially the trailer that they saw at Star Wars Celebration, those who got to go. But now we've got like a high resolution version that's not on a cell phone.
It's not bootlegged.
And so we can pull out a lot more details from this, and there are so many great little things in this that we have to just talk about because, you know, we started as the Mandalorian Watch. That's what we're known for. This is really our bread and butter. This is like if there's one thing, like if I had to podcast at 1 a.m. about the Mandalorian just to get an episode out, I'm going to do it because The Mandalorian is my Star Wars right now. Like this is what keeps me going in Star Wars. It's The Mandalorian. So we're going to break down this trailer.
You're talking about podcasting about The Mandalorian at 1 a.m. Like we haven't already done that.
That is true. That is true. All right. So let's just start off. If you need to pause and go rewatch the trailer before we talk about it, do that. But we're going scene by scene with this,
just like we do everything.
Yeah. So we start off with images of Grogu and Din with the armor asking, "This is the one you saved." And the images are from like season one of The Mandalorian, season two of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, we're just contextualizing. We're letting people know what's already happened. And so we're going to cue people in on what's maybe going to happen. We always say like when there's episode recaps in front of episodes, pay attention to those, 'cause it's important about kind of what's going to come up maybe. So I think that this information, as far as knowing what they're pushing for us to remember and recall about previous seasons, the information's valuable.
Oh, it's so valuable. Like, never skip those things. They tell you so much, and they set up your expectations for the episode too.
Yeah.
It's really important. So the armor asks, "This is the one you saved." And then she goes on to say, "You are as its father." And then we start to get new footage of the N1 starfighter that Din got from the Book of Boba Fett, landing what I think is on Navarro. I'm not totally sure. It kind of looks like Navarro, but there's a mountain in the background that I don't necessarily remember being on Navarro.
Yeah,
but there's
it's tough.
Still that Shinto looking gate at the entrance.
Like a Tori gate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like if it's not Navarro, it's Navarro adjacent. It's the same...
It's the Navarro
feel.
System.
Yeah. I got a feeling like I think this is Navarro, and I think Greef has just done really, really well on Navarro. Like
they can afford a mountain now. Greef has made Navarro such a prosperous place, they were able to construct a mountain.
he's got those he's got those Disney Imagineers on Navarro now.
Navarro's actually on the second level. People don't realize that. As you walk up, you're actually walking up a berm. There's a whole secret underground utility door system.
There literally is, though. Really, that's where the Children of the Watch were hiding.
I think Navarro is just the Magic Kingdom at Disney
World.
It is.
So, yeah, but what was really interesting, I don't know if you noticed this, Mac, but like when the N1 fighter lands, it's like the color changes a little bit. Like it was like almost black and whitish to vibrant colors. I don't know if that was to signify like now we're in season three footage or something.
Yeah.
But whatever this planet is, whether it's Navarro or Navarro adjacent, it's super green with life. Like it looks almost Batuu-ish. Like it kind of looks like Disney World or something. I don't know.
One of those classic Star Wars worlds that makes you feel like anything's possible. You know, it's like, oh, this is a place that's primed for adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. And then, sorry for my morning voice. I got bad morning voice right now.
We both are fighting it. I've only had one cup of coffee so far. So
I've had none. So if I had coffee, I would wake the baby. So I don't want to do that yet.
I wish I could hand you through this StreamYard call a cup of coffee.
Dude, I would take it.
Let me mail you one real fast. We can put this on pause.
I need to have coffee. I need to have a coffee maker up here. Actually, that would be really smart, actually.
It could be a fun thing for you to do as we're podcasting. You're just making a cup of coffee, like, as we go.
You hear it brewing in the background.
The grinder.
I mean, people are into ASMR, so I mean, it's not a bad idea.
Let's take a hard pivot into Star Wars ASMR.
Batuu.
Tatooine.
A clan of two. So the armor says a clan of two, and then we get Grogu in his little hover bassinet with a flashlight next to Din, who also has his flashlight on his helmet.
I love that thing.
It looks like they're underground somewhere. Is this the mines of Mandalore? Like, we got that hint from the Book of Boba Fett that he had to go redeem himself in the mines of Mandalore, and this looks like it's underground. Yeah. But is this the mines of Mandalore?
It's a great question. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons they could be underground. Coverts are hiding out underground, yeah, a lot of times, right, that kind of thing. But we've been thinking that kind of the central plot point for season three is going to be underground, the mines of Mandalore.
Oh, Mac.
What's up?
So I'm just putting something together. So like you said, the Mandalorians, every time like we've seen the Children of the Watch, which is the covert, they've always been underground. So in Navarro, they've been underground. In the Book of Boba Fett on that space station, they're even underground on that space station. So here's my question then. What if on Sundari, the Children of the Watch went underground, literally like under the bubble city, and that's maybe how they know about the Mines of Mandalore? Like they were operating without...
What? Yeah, go what ahead. What if the Children of the Watch and the schism that caused is what resulted in Mandalore being destroyed? And the Children of the Watch went underground,
yeah,
because they knew it was coming.
Oh.
And so Sundari ended up kind of getting glassed, you know.
Well, Bo-Katan hints at that in the trailer.
Yeah.
She definitely hints that's her perspective of what happened.
So what if the Children of the Watch were like so upset with where they saw Mandalore going?
Yeah.
And sorry, a car trailer just drove by, so that was probably, yeah, that was probably loud.
It drove right into your house.
just parked on the porch. that's kind of how it feels. But yeah, so like the Children of the Watch, maybe they're the ones who did it and knew it was coming. And so
headed
underground. And that's why they kind of have a tradition of hiding out underground.
Yeah. Right now I see one of our listeners, Mandalorian Mark, fist pumping right now. Yeah.
Shout out to you, Mark. Hope you're well.
Yeah. We love you, Mark. The music starts playing here and it sounds like kind of Game of Thrones a little bit. Like, especially with the House of the Dragon, there's Rhaenyra, I think that's her name. Basically, her theme, it sounds almost exactly like this music. So that's kind of cool. Then we get a Mandalorian fighter flying through a storm. It's really cool to see this in live action up close. We've seen a lot of them in the Clone Wars and in Star Wars Rebels, these Fang fighter type Mandalorian fighters. It's the really coolest. Cool. Yeah.
Why do Mandalorians are just the coolest looking group of people in Star Wars, for sure. Everything they have just looks dope.
Everything's diamond shaped. Everything like goes vertical.
Visors are, yeah, everything goes vertical.
Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah. Their whole aesthetic is really cool. I like it.
They really nailed it.
Thank you, Joe Johnston. I mean, it's because of him that we have pretty much all the Mandalorian stuff.
Yeah.
Then the armorer says, but you have removed your helmet. And then we see the Mandalorian walk through some sort of blasted landscape. Kind of looks like Krypton to me, honestly. This makes me wonder if this is Mandalore, like the surface of Mandalore, like it's literally been glassed.
Or it could just be Krypton, and Superman is in the Star Wars universe.
That's he's the next actually baby just, he's taking care of.
Yeah, he's just a Jedi. That's why he has powers.
He pretty much would be. He definitely would be a Jedi. He'd probably be one of those annoying Jedi, though. Like, really follows the rules.
Like Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Then we get a quick shot of another underground area, and I'm starting to wonder, because if you really look at it, there looks like there's like sewers that are broken and stuff. So I'm wondering if this is under Sundari, which we see later in the trailer that's like totally open and exposed. It used to be this big bubble glass city. And I'm wondering if Din is looking for the entrance to the mines of Mandalore. Like, he's in what the sewer parts are, and he's looking for what actually, like, gets him lower underneath.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm wondering. I don't know. We'll see. The armorer says, then you are a Mandalorian no more, which we heard in the Book of Boba Fett. And again, I'm really curious to see how they handle that going into season three of like, hey, if you didn't watch the Book of Boba Fett, please do. Yeah. Super important.
We just put a whole two episodes of this show in that show. So yeah. You need to watch it to understand everything.
Then we get a quick shot of the N1 fighter being pursued by other fighters in an asteroid field. I tried to pause and see what those fighters that are pursuing Din were, and I could not make it out. They're not TIE fighters, whatever. Yeah. They're not Imperial. So it makes me wonder if this is some sort of gangster, like cartel. Could just be
bounty hunters coming after him or something like that. Yeah.
Could be. I mean, it could be the Night Owls. It could be Mandalorians. I don't know, but I just can't make out the type of ships that are pursuing him. But then the N1 fighter looks to be flying down into a cloudy atmosphere, and then we see Bo-Katan march towards a very Mandalorian-esque window to look out of the sky. Now, my question, Mac, is where could this be? Because it looks like the throne room on Mandalore, but we know that's destroyed.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. It looks like Sundari to me. I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere that's like another kind of Mandalorian capital somewhere that's still
Concord
standing. Dawn. Could be Concord Dawn. Yeah.
Cronest.
That's kind of, yeah, who knows?
We know there's other Mandalorian planets out there that are, you know, just besides Mandalore.
Yeah. Cronest would be interesting to get the Wrens involved in the story.
Right.
So, I
mean, not to jump super ahead, because, like, of course, Sabine's going to be in Ahsoka, and then I'm sure she's going to meet the Mandalorian at some point.
Obviously, right?
You got it. But I think she's the one that ends up with the Darksaber again.
Mm.
I think Sabine ends up leading...
Being Mandalore?
Yeah. I think what... I mean, I don't, again, this is just way, way down the line speculation. I think we're going to have a gladiator situation where the Mandalorian is Mandalore, like, for a
to
moment
get it done.
Before he dies. Yeah.
And then.
That's what I think happens. But I don't know where this place is. This makes me wonder if this is the Kree's, like, original ancestral home.
Yeah, so like how the Wrens have Crow Nest, it'd be wherever the Kree's clan
Kree's
comes
nest.
From. Kree's nest. I don't know.
The owl nest.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like how much it looks like the throne room on Mandalore from the Clone Wars and stuff. That's really cool.
Sense that they would have like a consistent architectural style, you know, as a culture.
I just really love that visual consistency. From animation to live action. I just can't get over that.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. Then we get an amazing shot of Din walking out into the middle of a group of Mandalorian warriors. I'm thinking they're probably children of the watch because there's no visual consistency with their armor. We've got like a white owlish helmet. Those are typically the female Mandalorians. We've got a burnt orange helmet guy. We also have white helmet with orange trim guy. And Din is like emerging into the middle, almost kind of look like he's leading them in a way.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool to see the different designs of Mandalorians and stuff. I just love that so much.
I would love Din to find like some group of outcast Mandalorians.
Maybe
on Mandalore or something.
They've also been outcast from Children of the Watch.
And so they've all like gone to Mandalore to redeem themselves in the mines, and they all meet up there for kind of the same reason.
Oh.
Din is able to like unite them, and they work as a team to get through the mines or whatever they're really after.
I like that. Then we hear Bo-Katan say, "This is new dialogue now. your cult, and then we see a group of Mandalorians hit their chest. I think it's the same ones that Din was standing with, just based on the different designs of the armor and stuff. And then we see Paz Vizsla taking a tool from the armor, so we know Paz is back. That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, Grief, John's going to be in his show.
Paz is a really good, like, frenemy to Din, I think.
Yeah.
I like that. They're very good frenemies. They back each other up, but they also hate each other. And that's
a fun dynamic.
Yeah. Then we get Greef Karga looking super regal. And again, I assume this is on Nevarro.
He just keeps getting richer. Yeah.
He looks great. I mean, those robes, dude. They look great.
A magnate now.
He's doing well for himself, and I'm proud of him, Grandpa Greef. So,
you know, a mountain is really a big investment up front, but you know, you get a lot of return. So
it's done wonders for Nevarro. Come visit Nevarro Mountain.
Yeah.
We hear Bo-Katan continue to say,
"Come on now, it'd be Mount Greef or Mount Karga."
Mount Karga.
Mount Karga.
Come visit Karga Mountain.
Great skiing.
It's like Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So Bo-Katan continues, "Fractured our people." So the full quote is, "Your cult fractured our people," which is really interesting. So she's putting all the blame on Children of the Watch for what happened. So like if we just a quick reminder for people in terms of the timeline. When we saw Bo-Katan get the Darksaber in Star Wars Rebels, which everybody should watch, Sindari was not destroyed yet. Okay? When we hear the armor give her version of events, Sindari was destroyed in the Night of 1,000 Tears. That would be after Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
Bo-Katan is placing the blame not on the Empire. In this instance, she's saying, no, this all started because of the Children of the Watch.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting.
Yeah, there's some conflicting narratives. It makes sense that, you know, after some time has passed, different groups are going to remember things a little differently, whichever way kind of suits their own, you know, purposes and needs.
That's history.
That's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what we want. The main thing we've been talking about basically since season one, but especially since Bo-Katan's been in the show, we want the conflicts between whatever the kind of mainstream Mandalorian way is and then the Children of the Watch's path. I mean, that's the stuff that's going to be the most interesting. I think the trailer is certainly pointing to those conflicts.
And that's basically what we were, when we did season one, we thought season two would be what we're getting in season three. Season two is like a little like divergence in the path because they needed to set up Ahsoka and then Boba Fett and all the different things that they're going to be doing. And now we're kind of back to the storyline that really season one set up. And I'm really excited to see where this goes because I'm not so sure that Bo-Katan is like totally right about everything. And I definitely don't think the armorer is presenting the full truth.
No,
I think it's somewhere in the middle.
The armorer is conniving. Some ulterior thing she is specifically trying to get Din to do. Like there's kind of an inconsistency to her actions and motives that lead me to believe she's scheming a little bit. The armor be scheming a little bit.
She be scheming. Armor be scheming. But like the trailer is setting up Bo-Katan as the villain. I don't think she is.
Yeah, I think it's the armorer.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
But we'll be able to go on the journey with Din in discovering that, which is exciting.
Oh, God, dude, I'm so excited about this show. So then we get a quick shot of the N1 Starfighter flying through an explosion. It looks like he's making an attack run on a bigger ship.
Yeah.
And then the droid in the cockpit is R5.
D4?
Yeah.
Seemingly.
So now he has, like, how cool is that? That his droid is the one that Luke Skywalker almost had, and now Din has it.
Yeah, there'll be people who hate that.
I love it.
I'm into it. It might not be the same droid. I'm sure there are several that look like R5, but
it's R5. And
like, I mean R2-D2. The number of places R2-D2 was conveniently at.
Exactly.
If we're gonna,
even the Force works through droids, and so that's what we're seeing here is like. The reason R5 couldn't go with Luke Skywalker is because he had to protect Din and Grogu. That's why.
Make Skippy canon again.
Exactly.
R5 was canon. Oh, no, but do you know what it is?
Red 1?
Yes.
Red 1.
That, is that canon? Are the From a Certain Point of View books canon?
It's, okay, well, I'll say it's canon adjacent. Like, it's canon until something canon says that it's not.
Yeah.
Kind of like Navarro adjacent.
There you go.
It's Navarro until we learn that it's not. So, they're making some sort of attack run on a ship. It doesn't look Imperial. It almost, I can't remember what they're called, but like there was this Star Wars game that was called like Empire at War, where you had like these like basically like fleet battles.
Yeah.
One of them was like a pirate crew. These ships look like that. Like these they remind me of some sort of pirate something that they're attacking. So again, very interesting conflict, whatever that is. Then we see the Mandalorian fighter emerge from clouds. Now this is the Fang fighter type, not the N1 fighter. The Mandalorian fighter emerges from clouds, and then on the left, we see a broken Sundari, which is the capital of Mandalore, lay on the surface of Mandalore. And again, we saw that explosion happen in the Book of Boba Fett, but we see the aftermath of that, and so it's just totally cracked open. It's a dead world. It's been glassed, like we learned in season 2 of The Mandalorian. Then we see the Mandalorian and Grogu walk down that palace hallway, and there's a big throne at the end with Bo-Katan sitting on it. And then Bo-Katan asks, "Where were you then?" Basically asking, when Sundari was destroyed, where were you then? And then we get a really cool shot of a Mandalorian dropship. And again, my question is this Navarro? Is this that same planet that we were looking at? And then we hear Bo-Katan ask, "Did you think your dad was the only Mandalorian?"
Which implies that at some point Bo-Katan has Grogu alone.
You're right. And maybe this is what we're seeing could be them getting Grogu, because we see blue armored Mandalorians advancing on the city. Now, when they drop, what was interesting is that you've got like a row of blue Mandalorians, which I assume is Bo-Katan's Mandalorians, like the Night Owls, which are a subset of Death Watch, which we're not sure if Children of the Watch is a subset of Death Watch. Like,
we need some answers on some of that.
Sanity. But then we also see some of the multicolored Mandalorians like on the right hand side. So like, are they working together for an operation?
And I mean, I almost assume eventually everyone's going to be on the same page and have to, Mandalore as a whole is going to have to unite, for some purpose at the end, just
I hope so.
Of how stories work.
But I do hope that they are kind of in conflict with each other too, for a little bit. It'd be cool to see Mandalorians fighting each other. Yeah. But like, so we see blue Mandalorian advancing on the city. Again, it looked like Navarro a little bit in the streets to me. Makes me think that for whatever reason, my first thought is Bo-Katan looking to get Grogu or Din? Or are they attacking Grief? What's going on here? I just got questions about what actually is happening, what's mobilized these Mandalorians to actually go and fight.
And that's what a good trailer does. It shows you some things that get you interested and get you asking questions.
Yeah. And then we get some Kowakian monkey lizards in a tree. And again, that's why I'm thinking this is Nevarro, because when we saw Nevarro in the very first episode, those things were on a spittle.
Roasting them. Yeah.
And now like it's showing like even they're free and
yay.
And everything's good here. But then we see a very, very quick shot of Dr. Pershing walking through some sort of facility with another person.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're going back to that mystery of who Grogu is.
Yeah, I mean, the Mandalorian season one set up so many incredible questions, and then season two didn't give us any new answers. Just more questions. Yeah. I need to know what's going on with Dr. Pershing and all of the cloning stuff that we've been seeing. It's all been stuff that's been like obviously presented in frame, but it's never the exact focus of the scene, you know?
Right.
Nobody's ever talking about it. It's just like we're seeing stuff. You know, in the background, we're seeing different characters contextually be associated with cloning and things like that. So
what's that M count like?
Yeah. Yeah.
We need some M count updates. That's Metachlorians. But they can't say it.
Because it'd be a HIPAA violation. They can't talk about anybody's medical information.
We don't want to release that info.
Yeah.
Then we get a quick shot of Grief drawing a blaster on a gang of thugs in the street. We see Din drawing a blaster too. Again, it kind of looks like he's underground when he draws his blaster. We see the N1 fighter attacking the pursuers that from earlier in the trailer in the asteroid field.
Yeah.
We see Peli slap R5. That's why. Yeah. This is why this is R5-D4. She's holding Grogu and then slaps R5 on the head. So I'm assuming Din needs the droid for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, the last time we saw or heard of R5, R5 had escaped the Jawa captivity and was just headed into the desert.
Right. And then we see...
I never thought I was going to have to tell our audience that the red one might be required reading for Mandalorian season 3.
It might be the greatest piece of fiction ever written.
You will think less of R2.
Yeah. What a scumbag R2.
Yeah, R2's a jerk.
Poor R5. But yeah, then we get a quick shot of Babu Frick.
Yeah.
How excited is he fixing R5?
I don't know. I love that he's there. Do we know for sure if it's actually Babu Frick or is it just another member of Babu Frick's species?
It's got to be him though.
Yeah.
I mean, the greatest thing from Rise of Skywalker is Babu Frick.
He is the thing that every person can unite upon.
We
can all agree. Babu Frick was dope. We liked him. He was two thumbs up from the entire public.
100%. Yeah, he's great. Yeah. And then we get fireworks over a city.
Yeah, which is interesting. We've only seen fireworks in like the ending montage of Return of the Jedi and stuff. Yeah.
So is this... Oh, dude, this actually makes sense because it's over the city. Is this over Nevarro/Nevarro adjacent because this is what they do at night because they're now Disney World? Because
they're...
That makes sense.
I hope they start building a castle in Nevarro.
We figured it out. That's what the fireworks are for.
They start serving turkey legs and churros.
Dude, I want to go there. It's amazing. So yeah, Grogu is watching the fireworks through the cockpit. And then we hear Din say, "All right, kid, hang on. Ready for an adventure." And they jump into hyperspace. And it's like he's asking, "Are we ready for an adventure?"
I'm ready for an adventure, Alex. I'm ready.
I'm ready. So originally they said that this was coming out in February of 2023. And so far they haven't disputed that, but in the trailer it just says 2023. So a lot of people were wondering, have they changed the date? I think it's possible that they've moved it back to closer to May 4th.
No, it's actually January 1st.
I wish. That's the Bad Batch.
No,
the Bad Batch comes out like pretty much January 1st, 2023.
Yeah.
And so if they do the Bad Batch where it's not all at once and they release all the episodes, that's 16 episodes. Yeah. So I think that they're going to... Either there's going to be overlap with The Mandalorian and The Bad Batch, or they're going to push The Mandalorian back a little bit closer to May.
Yeah.
And then I would assume we would get Ahsoka probably in the middle of summertime.
Yeah. No, that timeline makes sense for me. I don't like it because I want The Mandalorian Season 3 as early as possible. But
yeah. I mean, I'll take it in February, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
But no, that timeline makes a little bit more sense to me.
Yeah, but I'm so excited. Like, this isn't the full trailer that the Celebration people saw, because they ended up seeing another little piece of it, which we covered on our Patreon. We actually have talked about some of the footage that they saw over on our Patreon. So if you're interested in that, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/TheMandalorianWatch. But now comes the hard part, because I've been wanting to put this off because I didn't want to talk about it, but we have to talk about it, because we've got to talk about our Andor episode coverage and how we're going to be covering Andor. And I just want to start off by saying,
I was just going to say,
yeah,
the things that we, in our decision-making process for this podcast,
yeah,
pretty much everything, the factors we have to consider are how we do this in a way that keeps us enjoying it and make sure that when we sit down to talk about Star Wars and to, you know, put this content out for y'all, that we're coming from the best place and we're doing it because we love it and it's fun. But to do, and you know, we also really care about getting y'all the content that you want, because we care about y'all. Y'all are, you know, what makes this worthwhile for us to do. So we want to get y'all, you know, what you want. That's something we enjoy providing you.
Yeah.
But we're thinking about Alex. I don't know about you. I want to be on this podcast talking to you about Star Wars 30 years from now, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Every time something new Star Wars is coming out, because it'll never go away, pretty much. You know, as long as that's happening, we're on these mics talking about it.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, we have to safeguard our mental and emotional health.
Yeah.
At the other aspects of our life. So we make sure that the other aspects of our life are maintained and upkept, which allows us to, you know, spend the time doing this. So with every decision we make, those are the kind of things that we're considering.
Right. And if this were like our full-time job, because there's some people who are full-time podcasters and they can provide that, like, that would be different. Like, you know, like that we would be able to have the time, because like this would be our job, but this is literally just a side thing that, you know, we don't get paid from any of this. And in fact, all the Patreon money just goes right back into the podcast, and we invest into the podcast. Right. We don't pay ourselves out of that. And so, basically here's what we've got to do for Andor, because it's 12 episodes, which is quite a bit. Of episodes.
It's the most that we've ever had to consider before.
Yeah, and like Max said, he said it so well. There's a lot of factors that went into this. Number one, I've got a newborn at home who, like, needs me, like, needs her dad.
And that's more important than
That's more than anything more important Star Wars. Related. Yeah. I would be able to do all 12 episodes, but my actual job has given me even more responsibilities at my job, especially for this fall. Until Christmas time, I've got like a lot more responsibilities. And so because of that, I'm just going to get to the point.
Just we're going to be the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. we're going to be covering Andor three episodes at a time instead of every single episode. And I know that sounds really disappointing to some of you. I'm disappointed probably more than you are. But like Max said, we've got to do certain things to safeguard, number one, our family.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing to both of us. And then our own health, too. Like, we could push ourselves and try to do an episode every single week for 12 weeks. But I think by the end of it, we wouldn't have a podcast anymore, if I'm being completely honest with you. We'd be burnt out with the rate that we do it. So yeah, we've decided for Andor, we're going to cover it three episodes at a time. So it'll be kind of like an arc. Every three episodes, you're going to get coverage, our breakdowns of those three episodes. And then in between those episodes, we are going to have Patreon exclusive voicemail hotline episodes for our Patreon. And I hate that we can't provide that for our regular listeners for Andor, but that's going to be our Patreon exclusive for Andor. And so basically how this is going to work is episodes 1 through 3, you get an episode, then a Patreon voicemail. Episodes 4 through 6, you get an episode, then a Patreon voicemail. Episodes 7 through 9, then a Patreon voicemail. And then episodes 10 through 12, and then that final Patreon voicemail. So it's still a good amount of episodes, I think.
Right.
But we've just got to, again, we've got to safeguard ourselves and our family.
Yeah.
And I apologize if that upsets anybody, but I love my daughter. So.
Yeah. And that's more important than anything podcast or Star Wars related.
Yeah.
But also keep in mind that is what we're setting out to do now. That's kind of what we're willing to commit to at this time.
Right.
There is a possibility that we could get, a couple months into it and decide that, we're just ready to start covering more episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So things could always change. We're just trying to do our best to make sure we're set up for success, long term.
Right.
Talking about years and years.
Long term. So while the Andor episode coverage will be condensed, that absolutely doesn't change anything for the next television show, The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian will be back full time.
Yeah.
Every single episode, there'll be an episode, there'll be a voicemail episode, and then an extra bonus voicemail episode for The Mandalorian. And the reason for that is because, again, I'm just kind of in a different time period right now with my literally 2-month-old daughter. And so it's been difficult.
I've got tons going on too.
Yeah.
I just moved across the country.
Right.
Employment changes, things like that.
Right.
So
by February, we should all be kind of in a better routine with life and work balance. And so, like I said earlier, if I've got a podcast at 1 a.m. for The Mandalorian, I'm going to do it because it's The Mandalorian. And that's nothing against Andor. It's just Andor's not that type of show, and they're not marketing it as that type of show.
Right.
It's just something different. And so that's how we're going to cover Andor. We hope that you guys stick with us throughout the Andor coverage and enjoy it. Some other great podcasts to listen to throughout the Andor stuff if you need it every single week. The Resistance broadcast, great people.
Yeah.
Force Center, love them. Yeah. They're great. So check out some other people week to week. I know that's not that's kind of going against the grain for podcasters and they're supposed to be our competition and stuff, but they're great people, great podcasts. Go check them out too. So
a rising tide raises all ships.
That's right. Star Wars Explained as well. They're more YouTube based, but man, they're great. I love Alex and Molly over there too. So great people. Again, apologize if that's disappointing to you, but
also we're really excited to talk about Andor. And
yeah.
This is going to allow us to actually have fun while we do that. So
yeah, and I think what's going to be really cool for our Andor episodes, like when we're talking about them, like three episodes at a time, we're going to be able to get really in the nitty-gritty and like deeper with the themes.
Right, right? Exactly. We can talk about how things were set up earlier. We can address things that are recurring, you know. It's going to be fun talking about that content with a different perspective, seeing more of the big picture at a time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It will be fun.
So I don't know. It's a fun experiment. I hope that y'all will enjoy taking that ride with us. And thanks for all your understanding and everything like that.
And it, you know, it might really work out and set us up for success for Andor season two, because like they're already going to be in 3-episode arcs.
Right.
It might work out that way. Like for season two, we might do the same sort of coverage for season two. If this really like, hey, this format really works specifically for Andor, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I am excited for this. We think this is going to be best for us and literally for you guys as an audience. Like you're going to get the best of us if we do it this way.
Right.
I'm excited for Andor. It's just like 4 days away. We get like a little mini movie, these first 3 episodes, and they're not like just 20 minutes. They are like 40 minutes long, which is really exciting. We're about to witness some Star Wars we never really thought we would ever get. And that's going to be really cool.
Yeah. For sure. Well, I cannot wait to watch Andor and talk about it with you, Alex, and get to share that with all the audience and the patrons. Thanks for holding us down again. We'll be back to do that very soon, but until then, keep the watch.